Welcome to the Keep Growing at UF podcast. I'm Kara.
And I'm Brandon. We are trainers on the UF HR Training and Organizational Development team. Training and Organizational Development has identified key skills that faculty and staff can develop as individuals and as leaders.
The Keep Growing podcast will present some of our team's trainings in an audio format so that you can listen and learn at your convenience.
One thing is certain, there is little constant in our lives right now. These challenging times can be a great opportunity to build stronger relationships and teams. On this episode, we are presenting a webinar titled Leading with Emotional Intelligence During Times of Uncertainty and Change. In this episode, managers and leaders will learn ways to leverage the components of emotional intelligence to lead effectively during these ever-changing times. This webinar was originally presented by Becky Younglove on May 8th, 2020.
So, in my role as a leadership development professional, I have the pleasure of working alongside many amazing leaders throughout the University of Florida. And there's always one very common response when we talk about change, and that is that change is constant here at the University of Florida, as it is in many organizations. And typically, we're really striving to bring about change around us. Oftentimes, as leaders, it's one of the things that we're charged with, right? We need to speed up processes or find more efficient or effective ways of doing things, or maybe there's problems or issues that need to be solved. So we use change to help us to improve in those ways. Oftentimes, it's really meant to help us move the organization forward in some way. But these are not normal times that we're experiencing here, right? And change is not easy even during those normal times. It's hard for leaders to create the conditions where you really have the motivation and the momentum to help folks to process and move with change. But as Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz said, you know, this doesn't look like Kansas anymore, Toto. This is definitely not our normal, regular, you know, organizational change that we're experiencing right now. And so as change is happening around us in these unprecedented times, really at a rapid pace, I heard from a leader the other day that they said, you know, I'm having so much trouble keeping up because every single day is another change. It's something new that we're expected to do or to implement or to move forward with in a way that we haven't before. And so it's truly rapid. It's truly hard to keep up. And now more than ever, leadership is going to be critical in order to help our organization to really move with this change in these times of uncertainty. And your team is looking up to you as their leader. They're looking up to you for answers. They're looking up to you for clarity and for hope, some sense of certainty when there's so much uncertainty in the world around us right now. And I've heard this said so many times lately, it's almost become like the catchphrase, you know, we're all in this together, right? But, you know, the answer to that truly is yes and no, right? Because even though we're all dealing with similar changes as far as, you know, normal life is different for everyone and we're all having to navigate and work differently in our spaces of our homes and shopping, it looks very different and childcare looks very different, right? But each person's reality is unique for them, right? Some of us are dealing with kids that are at home that are very young, that need a lot of care. Some of us have kids at home that are in need of homeschooling, and that's sort of starting to wrap up as we move towards summer and try to make plans for what will that look like. Some of us have our own health issues to be concerned about with this pandemic, and some of us have loved ones that are more at risk and that keep us up at night really with worry and concern. And others of us have had major shifts to our roles and responsibilities. So you may have folks, either yourself or folks on your team, that have had jobs that have been shifted so much that they're either very difficult to perform right now or even impossible at the present time, and we're in need of looking for other things for people to do. And now we're starting to hear conversations, right, about this whole, how can we return to work and get through this new normal that we know is going to be around for a while, right? Trying to think about how transitioning might happen in the near future over the summer to get people back on campus and in preparation for the fall, and to really help us all to start kind of living with this new reality that isn't really likely to go away too soon. So it's important for you as leaders to really pay attention to support and to over-communicate with your teams during these times, right? Because let's face it, it's all unknown territory. None of us have a guide right now. None of us have the roadmap, and there's very few guarantees. And when you're leading during these very uncertain times and rapid change times, it can bring about a lot of feelings for you yourself as much as it does for your team and those you're trying to lead, right? Feelings of fear, feelings of anxiety, maybe even confusion. You may feel a little off your game that you're not able to perform at the same level that you once were. And sometimes that can lead to inaction or missteps, mistakes along the way. We're all human and we're going to make them. So it's likely happened to many of you already where you felt like, gosh, I'm always on my A game, but right now, that was a misstep, you know, and I'm having to deal with the feeling of I'm not usually somebody who does that, you know. And for some of us, both as leaders and also within your teams, it can lead to this feeling of complete paralyzation where we're not able to move forward, or at times we feel paralyzed and just like we're not okay. And that's okay as well. So we'll talk a little bit about today and how we can really kind of leverage some of these areas of emotional intelligence, which is not new for many of us. If you've been to any of our trainings on emotional intelligence or you've perused the topic at all, there's really a lot to be said for those that are able to develop and get better in this area. And for a lot of us, we see the impact in leadership is really that it sets apart good leaders from really great leaders. And in this time of uncertainty and change, you have a unique opportunity to really rise above and show that you have what's within you to be the best leader that you can be. And our goal here is not to just survive, right? But to come out stronger, to help our teams to come out stronger on the other end. So let's start off by taking a quick poll. This is a webinar, so it's a little different for me. It's not as interactive as I like my sessions to generally be. But I'd like to hear from you guys, both in the chats today a little bit, and also we're going to launch this quick poll. So here's what I'm going to be asking you. When you think right now about what is the most challenging aspect for you personally, is it navigating work-life balance? Is it checking in with your employees? Is it taking care of yourself or communicating changes? I'm going to launch a poll for you, and I want you to just take a moment to reflect on that. And you have to pick just one. Which one do you think is the most challenging during these times? And then I'll show you guys the results. You should see that poll pop up on your screen at this time. I'm going to wait a few moments while we have everybody kind of click in and respond for just about 60%. Which one is the most difficult for you right now? Just another second. All right, one more. All right, most difficult for you at this time. And here's what we see. It looks like for you guys, navigating work-life balance is the highest rated area that's challenging for you at this time. And I would agree. I think that for me, that has been one of my biggest challenges. And having enough compassion for myself to recognize when I'm not doing a good job and I don't feel like, you know, things are going the way that they should, and having a little grace toward myself, trying to remind myself it's okay. We're all going to kind of get through this, and you're going to have good days. You're going to have bad days. You're going to feel like you're failing everywhere in your life at times. But right now that is definitely something that's really, really true for a lot of us. And I would say for your teams as well. And then it looks like, you know, a nice split here between taking care of yourself and communicating challenges, which we also know is really, really challenging during this time. Making sure that you're taking that time for yourself. We'll talk a little bit more about that this afternoon, but also in the communication aspect of leadership, really overly communicating with your teams in a way that helps them to understand what you know, what you don't know, and on a regular basis, and allowing time for them to process and get through that also. So let's start off by looking at that change component. A lot of you may be familiar with our visual graphic of the change cycle. I just wanted to take a little time here at the beginning to just kind of think about how this change cycle applies to this space of emotional intelligence And really, there's a very tight connection between those that are able to really navigate emotional intelligence competencies well and your ability to kind of move through these change cycle stages. And so I just want to take a brief moment to kind of talk through the change cycle so that everyone has a good understanding of it. I'll be very brief. And then the ways in which we as leaders can then move into this space of helping our teams to move through. So when we experience a change in this, you know, this period of time that we're in right now, this change is not one that we're initiating ourselves. And so what we know about change is that when we initiate ourselves, it is a little easier. It doesn't mean that we don't move through these same stages, but oftentimes at a more rapid pace, it's a little easier to move with change that you've initiated yourself, partly because you recognize that, you know, you're the one that asked for it. But in times like this, right, we didn't ask for this change. We didn't say, hey, we'd like the whole university to just, you know, transition to a work from home environment and stay locked up in quarantine for weeks and weeks and weeks on end with our families and all the other issues that come along with that. So really what we see here at the beginning is that there's an initiation of some sort of a change. And then the change cycle follows the format of a stoplight, because it really signals for us what happens during the different changes. So you'll see there's a red in the beginning in stages 1 and 2, which is like a stoplight. When you see red, you completely stop. And that's what we oftentimes see happen during stages 1 and 2. You know, we hear about this change starting next week, we're all gonna be working from home, right? And the first thing that we start to think about is, oh my gosh, how is this going to work? I can't work from home. I don't have what I need there. I don't have a space. I don't have the materials. I start to feel this sense of fear and even a sense of loss in that we're going to experience less of what we know right now in our normal state of being. And so oftentimes that can leave us feeling paralyzed and really kind of stuck in our tracks. And then we start to move into stage 2 doubt, where we're sort of like, well, this isn't fair. I don't know why we're being asked to do this. This isn't going to help things, you know, or maybe even some skeptical thoughts around the lens of like, you know, how are we all going to do this? This isn't going to work. And it causes us to be very resistant to the change. So oftentimes in stages 1 and 2, we feel very kind of stuck. What helps us to move from stages 1 and 2 on to stage 3 is really information. So the more information that we get, either that we create ourselves or that we get from others, the more that it helps us to kind of move through to these other stages. And so you'll see the yellow stages here of discomfort and discovery in stages 3 and 4, where we're still not happy about the change, but just like a yellow light, we're kind of in a cautious state. A lot of us are feeling this right now where we're in a discomfort with different changes that are coming at us a lot. We might feel very anxious or confused and definitely unproductive at times. Over here in stage 4 discovery, this is where we start to get a little bit more comfortable with the change. And right now, I'm sure many of you can associate with the change cycle, like these feelings that were associated with it are really what is most evident in our teams right now, right? And we're our danger falls is right here in between discomfort and discovery. And so this is why the change cycle really applies to emotional intelligence, because you as a leader really have the opportunity to help your teams to process the change and deal with the change and then move with the change. And recognizing that we're all human and that there's times where each of us as well are going to struggle with dealing with the different change. So the feelings associated with this are what's really, really important. And over in the stages 5 and 6 green, that's where you're really moving with the change. I don't think many of us are moving into that green space anytime soon. In fact, most of us, if I have my little annotate tool to come up here, I think most of us are, you know, kind of moving through here and then getting some sort of additional information that's sending us back into the fear and the resentment stages. You know, even just right now, hearing about the talk about moving back to campus, right, is starting to make us have different feelings about this new change that might be coming our way. So I think that's helpful just in kind of setting the stage for talking more about how emotional intelligence can play a part in our experiences with the change that we're dealing with right now and this uncertainty that we are also navigating at the same time. So when we look at the definition of emotional intelligence, it's really this ability to recognize and understand not only your own emotions, but the emotions of others, right? And then being able to really navigate that emotional space in a way that's most effective and most productive for all that are involved so that the relationships are really at a good place, okay? And when we look at this definition of emotional intelligence, it's the basic level of awareness that we have within our own emotions that is really foundational. Our emotions do drive our behavior and they impact those around us. There's not any real way to get rid of that, even as much as some of us might wish that we did at times. This can be very positive and at times sometimes negative. So it's really learning how to manage your emotions and then those of others as well, especially in these times when we're experiencing such extreme pressure and stress, because we know that that doesn't always bring out our best side. So emotional intelligence can be particularly helpful when you're trying to do things like give feedback or receive feedback. And right now in a virtual space, right? Trying to remotely help to find out what's going on for your people and how can you help guide them and give them direction, but in a way that doesn't make them feel that you're trying to control their work so much, you know, in a micromanaging sense. And that's a delicate fine line to walk, right? Emotional intelligence helps you to be able to meet tight deadlines, to be able to be successful in that achievement way. It also helps with challenging relationships. If you're trying to navigate challenging relationships, either because of conflict or maybe because of different personalities, emotional intelligence right now can help you to be more resourceful in an environment when you might not have all the resources that you wish that you had or that your teams wish they had. And it also helps us to deal with change, especially in the sense of setbacks and failure, which are no doubt a part of many of our lives right now. And recognizing that you're not alone in that is really important. So there's a conceptual model that comes from the work of Daniel Goleman, who's kind of the guru of emotional intelligence, right? And he describes this model of awareness that leads to our actions, both for ourselves in our relationships with others, and the way in which we manage those emotions can really help us to lead more effectively. Sure, I have my little model thing over here so I can point my model. Awesome. So, you know, we start off with this sense of really being aware of our own selves, but then moving into our awareness of others. In our own awareness, it's how do we manage our emotions and we manage our reactions and we manage the different challenges that we face. And then with others, it's our ability to manage those relationships so that we have the positive impact that we need to have with our teams. But right now, our times, they're challenging, more so than ever, right? It's hard. And we're all human. And that's one of the biggest pieces that I think we need to all recognize is that, you know, you might have had a day or two or three where you really felt overwhelmed or really frustrated by a message that you received, maybe some new information that you knew you had to share with your team at some point and you didn't know how because it was going to be disappointing. You might have felt confused or even downright sad. And all of those things are okay. Because as a leader, it's really not about, in this self-awareness sense, especially in self-management, it's not about you suppressing those emotions and holding them in and not showing them at all. But it is about managing them in a way that helps you distill, instill trust in your team and get the results that you want to get. So thinking about how we can provide a little time and space for our teams. And when we're talking about the impact of some of these decisions and the communication aspects of things, it's okay for you as a leader to be like, you know what? I'm having a hard time processing this information as well. It's a little bit confusing for me, but I want to assure you I'm going to get, you know, as much detail as I can when it's readily available. And as soon as I have that, I will share it with you. And being really transparent about what you do know and what you don't know at this time. Because the truth of the matter is that's changing on a daily basis. And it's okay to even say that, right? Like we don't have solid guarantees about a lot of things. And you can be open and honest with that in your communication with your teams, but in a way that also helps them to know that at times there's going to be a lot that you know and that you can share with them. But when there are times that you don't know, you're going to say to them, at this time, I don't have an answer to that. I don't know that information. And that sometimes can just be comforting to those that are around you, right? It helps them to understand that you're sharing as much as you can. So when we look at this conceptual model and the components of emotional intelligence, and just some examples and helpful tips maybe that you can pick up to use in increasing your leadership effectiveness, especially during these times, right? We start off by thinking about our own personal competencies, so self-awareness and self-regulation components. And then we build into this piece of social awareness and relationship management. And the reason why it's very important to recognize that personal competencies related to emotional intelligence comes first is because now more than ever, you have to recognize where you're at with things, right? How you're feeling about things, because you've probably likely all had moments where you haven't felt like yourself. You know, you haven't felt really comfortable with some of the changes that you've been asked to move forward. And so recognizing that you're experiencing those feelings and that you're moving through that change cycle, that you're having to process some of these things also and gain more information and get to a place where you're comfortable enough to share with your team and talk about next steps is really critical. We can't help others unless we first, you know, help ourselves, right? And one of the things that I've seen personally experience as a leader here at UF after this, you know, first component of this crisis that we've gone through is that, you know, there's a bonding that's starting to happen even now as a result of our experience from this this crisis. There's something about going through crisis situations with others that really helps to bond and pull people together. So there's a lot that you can leverage here, opportunities, and hopefully you're finding some of these successes with your teams as well that you can really pull forward. You might have even recognized in this social competence space here, as you're really trying to tune in and pay attention to your team members on an individual basis, because we know with the distance right now, you don't have the office space, right? You can't just walk by and say, hey, Becky, how are you doing today? You know, it's different, right? And so Mark might be thinking to himself, you know, I need to get a way of checking in with my people and finding out how they're doing on a more regular basis. And so I'm going to check in with them, you know, weekly and one-on-one meetings, or some of us are even doing daily check-ins with our individual team members. And when you do that, those conversations, especially now with the personal experiences that we're starting to talk about, are really bonding for you, right? You start to get more information from others. And I've also heard leaders say, you know, I've really noticed that some of my folks are thriving in these conditions, and I'm noticing strengths that I didn't see in them in other circumstances. These are all great outcomes that we can pull through and really leverage in these times when there's also a lot that doesn't feel so good, you know? And sometimes the processes that we're moving through and having to figure out, for example, delivering, you know, virtual trainings. Our office is now deep in the weeds of that and moving through the processes of converting all of our training courses over to virtual sessions, which is something that we've talked about for a while and we know has been something that is wanted and needed across campus, especially for our folks who work, you know, in different locations, not at the main campus. But it's one of those things that moves very slowly, right? Change oftentimes in a big organization moves very slowly, but it's amazing how you know, circumstances being what they are, you can see things suddenly happen, you know, very rapidly and very quickly. And they're good innovations. They're good changes that probably needed to happen. And those are all things that you can help your team to recognize and really making sure that you're moving forward. So we're hoping that you will focus in on these things as leaders, the ways that you can make the best of this situation, help your teams to understand that, really tune in and listen to them and lead your team to help our university move forward to an even better place than we were before. I'm amazed every day at the stories that I hear from this great university. So when we look at those personal competencies related to emotional intelligence and self-awareness and self-regulation, right, our emotions and our feelings are information. right? We get information in through our senses, we start to process it, and then it's tied into our own thoughts, our own attitudes, our own beliefs, and then, of course, that ties into action as well. We all have emotional responses to the stimulus that's around us, right? It's biological. It's part of how we developed as humans. It was really helpful, you know, back in the day when we were trying to escape the saber-toothed tiger, you know, that was trying to eat us or anything like that. That fight, flight, or freeze response is really helpful when you're truly in danger. It doesn't feel as helpful when you're not really in physical danger, right? But your body still processes something as danger and you get that fear response, right? And you'll feel that when you're feeling a lot of anxiety or a fear of the unknown or sometimes the known, something that you find out that you're just like, oh man, how are we going to deal with this? That can cause a really strong emotional response. And it doesn't feel as helpful as when you're, you know, trying to escape a dangerous situation. The good news is, though, that if you're really in tune with yourself, you can lean into those uncomfortable feelings and start to really take control of your response. And that movement into self-regulation is where we start to produce healthier responses and healthier results for you and for those you lead. So it's not about not experiencing the emotions. It's about experiencing them, recognizing that you're experiencing them, and then sitting with that feeling long enough to sort of observe it and pay attention to it. So if I'm feeling a lot of anxiety, I'm asking myself, what is it about this situation that's making me feel so anxious? And name it. Because when you name it, it actually helps you, excuse me, to take more power over the situation. It really empowers you in a way that's helpful to move through the change and to move through the emotions that you're experiencing. So when we look at ourselves, right, there's this saying I've heard a lot of different times, you know, you can't take care of yourself, you can't take care of others unless you take care of yourself. I almost said it backwards, right? Emotional intelligence is no different. We have to be very aware of who we are and how we're showing up. And the only way we're going to know how we're showing up or what our impact is on others to ask them, right? And it's very hard to work on showing compassion and showing empathy to others if you haven't first got a really good sense of who you are, what your values are, what things are important to you. Leading with your values in this time of uncertainty is critical. Being really aware of your strengths and your weaknesses, the ways that you prefer to do things, and when you're thrown a little off kilter and you don't have as much control as maybe you once did and you like control, recognizing that that makes you uncomfortable and thinking about ways that you can start to kind of navigate and move with those emotions and work yourself through that. Self-regulation is really all about your ability to manage those emotions that are coming your way, and then actions that might come of that that would be, you know, healthier ways of moving through and producing the results that you really want, cultivating the relationships that you want to achieve with those that are around you. I love this quote because for me, this was life-changing when I read it. I hadn't really thought about things in this way before. As a newer leader, we judge ourselves by our intentions. Others judge us by our actions, right? When you start receiving information that your intentions are not being perceived the way you expected, there might be a disconnect. And this is really, really hard in this setting of remote supervision and management, even more so. I mean, it's hard in a regular setting, right? It's hard in a normal operating setting. Now we have time and space between us, and noticing that there's a disconnect between what we intend to do for folks and what actually is being perceived of our actions by others is really tricky. Again, you need to open up that dialogue, open up those conversations, and self-awareness and self-regulation can really help you to bridge that gap a little faster. We know that we need to over-communicate. We need to say even more about what's going on, right? But when we're talking about over-communicating, it's also in the sense of listening, of posing questions, asking, and then listening to your team members, because that's really the only way that you're going to pick up on whether somebody is judging you based on something that isn't what you intended for them how you would intend them to judge you. So for example, if you send out you an email with some very clear directions on what you expect about a particular process that needs to be completed, right? And you provide a lot of details in that email because you want to be as clear as possible and over communicate. There's time and distance that's happening right now. And you know, you want to make sure you have a lot of clarity in that message. And somebody else picks up on the fact that you've included a lot more directive information in that email, more so than you ever have before. This isn't typical of you. You don't usually include this much detail. You usually allow more autonomy. They may perceive that you are thinking that they're not doing a good job, or that you don't trust them to do a good job, right? And so following up with things like that and saying, you know, hey, I want to make sure that, you know, that message was really clear that I sent out last week, when you're doing those one-on-one check-ins and things, and checking to see if the other people are perceiving you in the way that you really intended them to perceive you. All right. Thank you, Kirsten. I just saw a chat pop up, so I want to make sure that I saw what it was. It's an example that I think is really relevant at this time, right? And I, you know, we just held a session, I think it was yesterday, we did a leadership strategy sharing session called Courageous Leadership When the World is Upside Down. Some of you may have been on that call as well. We had some leaders that came on and really talked openly and honestly about the struggles that they're faced with right now and the ways that they're kind of navigating this unknown territory that we're all in. And one of them said that, you know, this is one of the fears that she has, is that she's, that her team is going to feel like she's micromanaging them. So then she might hold off on providing too much information. And then it turns out that they didn't have enough clarity, right? So there's this delicate dance. You've got to open up those channels of communication. Talk to your individual team members. Ask them, you know, how are you doing? How are you managing things? What's going really well for you? Where are your barriers? Where are the areas that you're feeling like it's a little harder? You know, just really asking open-ended questions that get your employees to talk and tell you more is the way in which you can start to get better in this space. And then really paying attention, right? Because the decisions that you're making right now, like, again, you might have in your mind a lot of clarity about your intention. I'm going to do X, Y, Z because this is in the best interest of my team at this time. You know, this is going to help to preserve their job security or make the transition back to the office environment better. Talk about your intentions. The best way for people to know your intentions is for you to say them. Hey, you know, I don't intend to come across in a way that I'm being so directed that I'm telling you everything that you know need to do. But on the other hand, I want to make sure that you understand what's needed because we haven't had an opportunity to sit down and talk through this. So, you know, talk to me about what's clear, talk to me about what's not clear, and making sure that they understand your intentions and then asking those questions and listening, truly listening to their responses. You can pick up on clues from other people, right? If you're doing video conferencing, you can sometimes see it in their affect. Maybe they're a little quieter. Maybe they're even like crossing their arms or have a different body language. Think about how much they usually talk or initiate emails. And if you notice things are off, make sure that you reach out and lean into those opportunities to connect. And that might be where you have some topics of discussion around what you intended and what was perceived. And just opening up that dialogue and clarity around intention is so critical. So I want to hear from you guys, right? Even though we're in a webinar, there's still this opportunity to chat. So I want to make sure that you have an opportunity to give some information as well as hear from your peers. So let's take a moment to think about these first couple of components of self-awareness and self-regulation, those first two personal competencies related to emotional intelligence. And you as a leader, how are you managing feelings of distress and confusion during these times of uncertainty and change? What are the ways that you are finding helpful to help you kind of manage that piece? And then the second part of that, you can throw in the chat as well, how can you tell how others are perceiving you? So make sure that your chat is up so that you can see what other people are writing as well. And I will be sure to kind of share out. as the responses come in, what are some ways that you're managing these feelings of distress and confusion? Some strategies you found that are helpful, ways that you're dealing with it? Thank you, Jenny, being patient with yourself and also patient with others, even more so during this time, right? Accepting the things you can control, accepting what you can't, and breathing. Those are all great strategies. Thank you, Deborah. You're taking time away and taking breaks in your day, getting steps in. It's really important. I know I've been trying to intentionally get out each and every day for a walk because it's so important, especially now. Small breaks and walking. Good. That gives you time to kind of think. Thank you, Andrina, like processing what's going on and thinking about it, just a little time and space. What else? Any other good strategies you found that are helpful? So Deborah says, hard to tell though how others perceive me, not sure. That's exactly my point, Deborah. There's really not a way for you to know how others perceive you unless you're going to do an anonymous 360 leadership assessment or something of the sort, a 360 where you're sending out some sort of a survey and you're getting people to give you anonymous feedback that helps you. We all have blind spots on the back of our head, right? As leaders, it's really important to acknowledge that you have that and you're always going to have that. You can't always know 100% how others are perceiving what you're doing, what you're saying, what decisions you're making, what actions you're taking. Your goal as a leader with self-awareness and self-regulation in particular for these competencies is to make sure that that blind spot is as small as possible. So instead of being gigantic, we want yours to shrink and shrink and shrink. So it's still going to be there. You're still going to have this area where you know your intentions. Oftentimes we find that people have the best of intentions, but others are perceiving us by our actions, and not just our actions, but their perception of our actions, right? So the only way you can make that blind spot smaller is by talking with your folks, talking with them about your intentions. I will like encourage people to literally use those words. Say, my intentions in doing XYZ is blah, 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 blah. Because that's just going to help you to get it right out there. But it's tricky. It's hard. And it's a fast moving pace right now. Thank you, Mark. Focusing on your personal life first is good. Work secondary, especially at times some of us are navigating things that are really tricky at home. I know I've had a number of challenges myself that have knocked me off kilter, and I've had to say, got to take care of this first, then this. And recognizing that some of your employees need that grace as well, to be able to say, it's okay to take some leave time right now and get things in order when you're feeling off kilter and stuff is taking hold and you can't do the best job that you know that they can do. So much is lost in the virtual communication. Yes. I think that that's a critical component, right? The virtual is manageable. We're trying to make the best of it. We're trying to find new ways to communicate, and that we've been somewhat successful with that, right? I mean, we're able to still do our jobs to a large degree. However, it's never going to be the same as being in person in the same space. And that's really challenging for a lot of people and for a lot of teams, right? So I want to emphasize the importance too of you as a leader really showing up and being your real self with your people as much as you can, right? Recognizing that you want to balance this, and a lot of leaders struggle because this is an area of true vulnerability, right? We have this thought that as leaders, we need to be perceived in a certain way, right? We need to be seen as strong and in control, that we have all the answers. And when we don't, it throws us off our game. It's okay to let people know when you're having a bad day. You know, my boss will say, I'm having an off day today. I don't feel like I'm myself. And that helps you to feel like you can trust that person a little bit more, right? We don't want to be so real with people that we freak them out, that they think that we are incompetent and can't do our jobs, right? Obviously, we want to instill in them a sense of confidence in hope that we're going to help pull them through this challenge and come out stronger on the other end. We do want to balance that. But it's okay to say to people too, you know, today I'm having a really down day. I'm having feelings that I'm just really tired or I'm really stressed out. And when you check in with your people, if you're feeling that way, it's okay to take the time and space to say, here's how I'm doing. But I'm going to get through this and we're all going to get through this, and giving them that hope that we're going to move on. Another thing that I've witnessed firsthand from leaders here at UF is the importance of recognizing when you're acting in ways that are outside of your norm. For example, let's say that you're a very patient person, generally speaking, but you have found yourself during this crisis in times where you need your team to act very quickly on something and produce results in an unusually rapid fashion, right? Your team might perceive that as, what's going on with, you know, Michelle? She's usually very patient and understanding. She usually takes the time to talk through things with us and allows us to have, you know, input into decision-making. And we're not seeing that from her right now. She's not acting like herself, you know? That's the time to really take a moment to explain to your team why you're acting a little bit outside of your norm. I know I must be coming across a little impatient this week with some of the deadlines that I've established. I recognize you guys are all working really, really hard, and I appreciate that. But we also do have a sense of urgency around producing this, you know, action item or getting this result here. And so that's why you're getting this from me, this different sort of sense of urgency, and letting them know that you recognize that it's outside of your norm. And that, again, gives them some comfort and helps to build trust, because they're wondering why you're impatient right now anyway, right? They're wondering why you're acting outside of your norm. If you don't take the time to tell them why, just like explaining your intention, then it allows a space, which is even bigger now in this virtual setting, right? This distance setting. It allows a space for those folks to come up with a narrative in their head about why you're acting a certain way or why you're doing something. So I think that's one of the most important things for leaders to really spend time thinking about, is if you don't help create that narrative or that story for your team, they're going to create one, because that's just human. We're going to think about things that are happening. We're going to take in information and we're going to make sense of it. We're going to make connections on our own. Those connections may be wrong. And so the only way for you to really help right that ship is to talk to your folks about it, and being authentic with them and showing them some vulnerability at times, and being open with the fact that, you know, we all make mistakes. So if there's been a misstep or a mistake that you've made, just openly sharing that with them can actually help build trust and instill a stronger relationship with you and your teams. All right. So thinking about taking care of yourself, because right now, in order for you to be the best leader that you can be, in order for you to have a really good sense of self-awareness and self-regulation, you've got to take time for yourself, right? And some of you guys already talked about some ways that you're managing kind of the distress and uncertainty with some examples related to this. But really taking the time to get out and enjoy nature, do some physical activity, encouraging your teams to do the same. You know, if you can get out and have a walking meeting, do so. You know, allowing them the time and space that they need also, and the grace to be able to take care of themselves is really important. But you need to take care of yourself first. You need to recognize when maybe you're having a moment of uncertainty and you're having a reaction. Maybe it's a racing heart or a tightness in your stomach. You've just received some news that you don't know what to do with, or a challenge that you know you're going to have to rally your team around trying to figure out, and you're nervous about it or you're anxious about it. Recognizing that you need to take the time, you know, get out in nature, take a walk or go for a run. Journal, write out some of what you're experiencing and get it out in paper, what your frustrations are, what your worries are, taking the time to really just think through your own thoughts and meditate. These can be some very helpful strategies. Anyone else have any other strategies that they have found really helpful as well during this time? Feel free to throw it in the chat box. I like to see new things all the time. And then we move into the space of social awareness and empathy, right? And this is really the critical components. Once you are in a good place yourself, and that never really stops. We don't stop taking care of ourselves. That has to continue. We have to always pay attention to our own personal competencies related to emotional intelligence. But we move into this space of others, right? It's really trying to help others to identify what they're feeling, what they're experiencing, what strengths and weaknesses they're maybe surfacing during this time that they haven't had to deal with before. I know I struggle personally with attention and focus. And so moving to a work environment from the home has been extremely challenging for me, and I've had to really work through that. As leaders, this is a really critical space for you to really tune into your team and find out what are their needs. You know, what do you need from me at this time? Or paying attention to what they need in general, because that's the way in which you're going to really help them to be able to do a better job of managing this change themselves, right? So empathy is not, it's not sympathy. It's not the same as that, right? It's not saying, I moved past my slide too quickly there. Sorry. It's not saying to somebody, oh, I feel so sorry for that situation that you're in, right? Empathy is just recognizing the emotions in others and trying to connect to it, and then in a way in which you're supporting that person. So they're maybe feeling a time of extreme letdown or difficulty, maybe in a personal situation. It's expressing to that person, you know, I can see that this is a very challenging, difficult time for you. And allowing them then that space to just talk through that. Or it seems like this project has been very frustrating. Tell me more about how you're experiencing challenges right now, or helping them to really tune into what is difficult or hard at this time. Giving that time and space for them to process their emotions. And also, you know, a lot of times with empathy, we think about, and I love this quote. It comes from Brené Brown, who's a professor, an author that wrote several books on related topics and studied a lot around vulnerability and shame. And she says, you know, rarely can a response make someone feel better. What makes someone feel better is connection. So when your team members are going through tough times right now, whether it's personally or professionally struggling with anything, they want to know that you care about them. They want to know that you value them as people. And that connection is where you get that. So instead of trying to solve their problem, try to help them just work through it. Instead of coming at them and saying, you know, well, have you tried this or have you tried that? You know, just giving them the time and space to talk through where their frustrations are. And I've seen several leaders who've really, you know, firsthand I've experienced how leaders have shown great empathy with me, and it's made all the difference in the world in the end. We're all hardwired to empathize, right? We recognize facial expressions and body language and vocal cues. When somebody says, I'm fine, but you know, they're not really fine, right? You're getting those other cues that are telling you, let the other person know, right? I get the feeling that you're not comfortable with this plan, or it seems like you're unsure of this process. I'd like to better understand it. Can you tell me more from your perspective of what you're thinking? With this distance factor, it's even more challenging now, and I'm sure you're all experiencing this to a great degree, right? People want to, though, be seen and heard. And with the distance factor, it's afar. And so that makes it even more challenging, right? You have to be intentional as a leader about creating those opportunities, creating those times when you connect both with your individual employees and your teams as a whole. It might be a time sucker, right? It is a time sucker. It's going to eat up a good majority of your time, but it's time really well spent, right? Our team just suggested to have a couple of different meeting times so that we could really have some time and space to talk about what we're prioritizing and then get more deeper into certain projects. Other teams I've heard are allowing time and space where we just check in with people so that at that time we know we're talking about, you know, how we're experiencing our home and our work life and what challenges we're coming up with. But when we meet at other times, it's more task oriented and sticking kind of to an agenda, right? So this really helps people to stay more connected and supported with the work as well. I know I'm at the end of my time, just a couple of minutes over actually. But if you have any additional thoughts or questions, please feel free to throw those up into the chat. This was just a quick webinar to kind of talk you through some of those emotional intelligence components and hopefully share some ideas about ways in which you can really kind of cultivate and improve in this space. I think that you'll find that paying attention to these areas is going to really lead to greater success for you as a leader. You're going to see that your relationships improve, that your teams appreciate and have more trust in you. And that's really critical for all of us during this time. So thank you so much, and I hope you have a great afternoon. We appreciate you joining us.